Saturn will hear about what you're suggesting so damn loud.
The sec boss ignored her, keeping his eyes drilling into Ryan's face.
You got a real hard look to you, Outlander. I've seen hard and I know hard. McMurtry wasn't nobody's fool. The day he fell, easy's the day shit stopped smelling. So how'd you do it, Carter? I'm real curious about that.
Like the lady says, you got a mean mouth on you, sec boss. Wind from your lips helps keep me cool. But I had enough of that for now. Smitty's hog broke down a couple miles from the ghost ranch. McMurtry stayed with him.
I wanted to try and get some of my picture done before the storm came swooping down onto us.
I see. Two of you went on ahead, cozy-like. And then?
Storm came.
Just like that?
Yeah, ferryman, just like that. Looks like the storm only skirted south toward Talisville, that right?
Oh, we've seen clouds, thunder, and some lightning. But not likely enough to get a couple of good sec men down and chilled.
You go take a look, you son of a bitch. You'll find big trees stripped to the core, two-wheel wags with every grain of paint scoured clear, and two corpses, ferryman. Two corpses looking like they've been blasted out of their skins. You go and look, and you fucking look good.
Sharana clutched Ryan around the waist again. The haze of dust burst from the rear wheel as Ryan gunned it, leaving the sec boss standing in the dirt, watching them go. Ryan and Sharona had only one brief opportunity to talk. They rolled through the fine sunny day, finally halting in the center of the Bill's Plaza. A couple of sec men started to run toward them, as did the trader and half the crew of the war wags. And Ryan glimpsed the shadowy figure of the Baron, emerging from the porch of his living quarters.
Won't ask you again, Ryan. Not ever. But just watch your back.
Thanks.
Take care, lover.
The trader gripped Ryan by the arm, his fingers like brass bolts.
You all right?
Yeah, Sackman got chilled in the chem storm. Ferryman's gone to look.
What'll he see, Ryan?
What there is? Two dead men. Bodies stripped by sand and wind, that's all.
Silence! Silence! I counted four people leaving the Ville day before today. Now I count just about half of that number returning. I set my mind to wondering just how that can be.
The Baron's wife told him the story, sticking to the simple scenario that she and Ryan had agreed upon, finishing up by explaining that they'd met ferrymen on the way to Taos, and that he was going to the ghost ranch by Abiquiu to check out the bodies. Alias Carson watched her through his thick-lensed spectacles, his pale blue eyes never moving from her face.
Interesting tale, my dear. Like most things in life, I guess we got us a mess of truth beans with just a sprinkling of chilly lies. Best a man can hope for. Oh, trader, I just got me some news about the gas convoy.
The trader gazed at him as though he just jerked a white rabbit out of a hat.
I said I got news on the gas.
What news, Baron?
Ryan and the woman's adventures in the chem storm were immediately forgotten. Two dead sec men didn't weigh in the balance against the possibility of filling up Warwag 1 and Warwag 2 with precious gasoline. And Ryan didn't mind at all that the light was turned away from Sharona and him.
It'll be here tomorrow. They had big problems in the processing plant out West Texas way. But they got them sorted.
Tomorrow?
Sure, son. Sure as the golden sun rises up there in the east and goes falling down into the west. There'll be gas tomorrow.
I'll count on that, Baron. I sure will. Ryan, my friend, looks like some sort of cleanup would suit you right now.
Sure.
The trader debriefed Ryan, with JB listening nearby, as the one-eyed man took a shower. The needle jets of water drove the grime from his pores, forcing tiredness out of his aching muscles.
You chilled the sec man?
Caught me with the woman.
That means you had to kill him, Ryan? I keep telling you about your temper and about finding ways out of a situation. Over, under, or around. I tell you that, don't I?
Sure you do, traitor. Wasn't just they caught us ramming away.
What else?
Ryan shook water from his long black hair, reaching for the control handle in the tiny shower unit.
Sharona had asked me to kill her husband and take over the Ville. Didn't whisper it either.
Fireflies.
Ryan walked out of the shower stall and took the towel JB offered him.
And Smitty and McMurtry heard that?
Yeah. And before you ask, there was the red-blasted father of all chemstorms going on outside the hut where we were.
Stupid. You're too bastard old to get your dick caught between a rock and a hard place, Ryan. Now there's men dead.
No way they'll track how they were done.
How'd you get them?
Ryan considered his answer. The traitor was already seriously angry with him. If he told them that Sharona's hidden knife had saved them both, and that she terminated McMurtry herself, it wouldn't sound good.
Hand-chopped the fat guy, knocked him into McMurtry, took them both.
Well, at least you got that right. But what else did you find out? She wanted Alias chilled?
Ryan started getting dressed again, grateful for the feeling of the fresh, clean clothes on his skin.
She's triple-crazed, traitor. Wouldn't trust her as far as I could throw her.
JB passed him his shirt.
She say anything else, Ryan?
Yeah.
Well, what? Dark Knight is like trying to get honey from a granite boulder with you.
Said not to trust the Baron. He's got some sort of game up his sleeve, traitor. He wants the Wags to tighten up his power base. They'd let him drive free and easy all over the land, and the threat from the Indians.
The older man nodded slowly. Traitor winced slightly and eased himself down, as though his clothes felt uncomfortable.
Keep getting these kind of pinches in my gut. Like I swallowed something real small with claws. I guessed all along there was something up. But now we know for certain we can plan extra careful. Double guards tonight. If it comes, it'll be tonight. Or maybe during the fueling.
Or after that. Just when we figure it's safe to leave.
There you go. That's better, Ryan. Shows your brain cells ain't all dead.
I'll set double watch. Spread the word to take extra care. Ferryman said earlier on something about a kid's party. Asked us to go sit in on it.
The three men looked at one another in a momentary silence.
Why not? Be such an obvious time to try and raid us, the son of a bitch might even try it. We'll go along, but we step light.
What time?
This evening?
Fine. You guys don't mind. I'm gonna hit the bunk. I could use some sleep.
Nearly 6 hours had crept by since Mildred Wyeth had given Ryan Cotter the injection. She'd hoped for some sign of success within a couple of hours, maybe 4 hours at the outside. But the botulism held the unconscious man gripped in its scaled claws with a remorseless and unrelenting cruelty. He didn't seem to have become any worse, but there wasn't any evidence that he was getting better. Everybody was restless. Jack had asked the doctor to give him some sleepers, unable to rest with his mind tangled in Ryan's predicament. She'd taken pity on the teenage boy, touched by the desperation in the dark-rimmed ruby eyes. Now he lay on his back, white hair tumbled around his narrow skull, sleeping soundly. JB had field-stripped his blasters a dozen times, going through the mechanical motions, sometimes with his eyes shut, sometimes with them open. Every half hour or so, he'd walk over and stand by Ryan's bed, looking down silently at the unconscious man, taking his glasses off and rubbing his eyes. Doc Tanner couldn't sit still, and he couldn't stop talking. He'd start a half-hearted, half-remembered conversation with Christie or with Mildred. Then his tired mind would lose its way among all of yesterday's clutter, and he'd wander away again.
Say, did I ever tell you about the time that David Spong and I went off to San Francisco and I fear that I don't recall what we did there. My memory is more addled than a bucket of sun-dried eggs. Whatever it was we did there was... No. Never mind.
Christie sat in a plastic chair, leaning against the wall of the redoubt room where Ryan was deeply asleep. She'd tried praying to Gaia, but she knew in her heart that it was futile. The power of the Earth Mother could do wonders, could almost move mountains. But it couldn't combat the lethal toxins that were crushing the life from Ryan Cotter. For some of the time, Christie slept, starting wakefully whenever Mildred came quietly into the room.
Any change?
No. Not worse.
Not better?
I don't know, Christie. The injection. He was closing in on death, I'm certain of that. I didn't figure he'd hang in there more than 2 or 3 hours, and it's been 6 hours now. He's still alive, and that's a victory. We've got to cling to the small victories if we can.
And hold off the big defeat?
Right.
Mildred, you need to get some sleep.
Have to keep checking the patient. Professional responsibility, you know. Lose my post as house surgeon if I don't.
I'll watch him. I know what to do. It's easy enough. Wash him if he needs it. If he dies, I'll know, Mildred. And if he starts getting better, well, I guess I'll spot that as well.